just me, or is there just such a sweet spirit in this place right now? Man, I just sense it. I don't know about you, but I just, man, God is just awesome. Hallelujah. And don't blame it on me being a preacher either, because I've faced struggles and situations today in my daily affairs as much as anybody else. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we can't still step right into the very love of God. Just step right into His presence, right? You just come in and you just make that decision that, no, I don't care what's going on today. It doesn't matter. I'm stepping into the love of God. I'm stepping into His presence and just receive it, right? And just let Him pour His love down on you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. He is so good. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for the utterance of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, it's going to be up on the screen. But if you do have your Bibles, I want to encourage you, even if it's on the screen, don't get lazy on me. Right? Let's look it up. Look it up in your Bible, right? If you have your Bible with you, if you have notes, some of you are taking notes. That's awesome. Look it up in your Bible, mark it, highlight it, so you can go back and read it again later, man. These scriptures are so good to our spirit, man, aren't they?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about, Heather had no idea when she made the song list and when she was sharing, she had no idea what I was going to speak on tonight. But tonight I'm going to talk for just a few minutes on high-level love. Yeah. High-level love. You know, there is no greater love than the love of God. No greater love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, we're coming up on Easter. We like to call it, around here, we like to call it Resurrection Day. Because Resurrection Day don't speak as much about bunnies and eggs as much as Easter does. And nothing wrong with bunnies and eggs. You can have fun with that. But how many know what Resurrection Sunday is really about, right? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Defender, right? Our protector, the one who loves us so much that He sent Jesus, His Son, to the earth, born in the form of a baby, to grow and to show us how to live this life on this earth. And then He gave His life. Did you hear me? I said He gave His life. His life was not taken. Jesus was not murdered. He gave His life for us. And man, what great love, huh? I mean, you talk about high-level love, there's no greater love than that. You know, the Bible says, for God loved the world so much with this kind of love we're talking about, this high-level love, that he gave Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for us, that all who would believe on Him would not perish, but that they would have everlasting life. Amen. Eternal life. That means not just a long duration of life. Eternal is not just the duration of time, but it's the quality of the time that you have, right? So, and when you talk about eternal life, you're talking about a never-ending good quality of life. That's what eternal life is. That's why the Bible doesn't talk about us just having eternal life one day when we get to heaven. But He talks about having eternal life right here in the now and nasty, right? Right now, when we're facing the stuff we're facing, you can look at. That's why the Bible tells us we can look. The Bible tells us that God at famine and destruction, God laughs, not because He thinks it's funny, because He knows He has an answer to even famine and destruction. Right? He goes, devils, that's the best you can do. Well, I tell you what, you know what? Give me a little bit of bread and some fish. And I'll show you what I can do with famine and destruction, right? God can fix anything. And when God fixes something, it is fixed, right? It is rock solid, good stuff. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. But Easter is, without a doubt, the greatest display of love that there is. Bar none. I mean, I didn't forget about any other incidents, right? No, when Jesus gave His life for us, that's the greatest display of love that there is. But here's the good news. The good news is He has taken the time to pour His love, that very same love, into us. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, high-level love, man. Why is it high-level love? Because there's none higher than it. There's none greater. And listen to this. There's none stronger than the love of God. There's none higher. There's none greater. There's no better. There's none stronger. No human on this planet past, present, or future, has, other than Jesus, has had the ability to love on this level. But now there is, because he has, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has poured that love into us. So we can't just say, you thought I was going to stop there, right? No, there is no other human can love the way Jesus loves. And the good news is, he's poured his love into us, so now we can love the way Jesus loves. We can love with this high level love. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, it says this, and I'm reading all in New Living Translation tonight. It says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. You can go back up and read the first four verses and know what he's talking about with that hope. But anyway, it says, for we know how dearly God loves us. For we know. Well, you just never know, right? That is not true. You can know. The Bible says, and we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. Not just any love, but with this love. What love? His love. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the day that you got saved, the day that you became born again, as the Bible calls it, the day that you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, the day you invited Jesus to come and live and dwell in you, that very moment, that Holy Spirit filled you with the love of God. But somebody might say, well, if he's filled me with this love, then how come I'm not certainly not releasing it out of my life? I'm having a hard time walking in love with my neighbor. I'm having a hard time walking in love with my husband or my wife or my kids or my coworkers, people around me. Why is it? Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But you need to understand that all the love you need, you don't need more love poured in. Because he's already poured his love into you. In other words, each and every person in this room already has this high level love on the inside. Every single person already has this high level love. It's not baby love and it's got to grow up. It's not a little bit of love and it's got to grow. No, the high level love we're talking about. What are we talking about when you say high level love? This love, it comes from the Greek word agape. It's unconditional love. Imagine yourself, okay? Imagine yourself loving on such a level that no matter what people say or do, it does not hurt you. And not only that, the reason it doesn't hurt you is because you're not loving them expecting something in return. Because if your love, if you're trying to love people with, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm expecting something in return, then that's not agape love. That's phileo. That's brotherly love. And that's not even really connected to the love of God at all. If you're expecting something in return, then that's not the love of God. It's just human love. Remember maybe when you were younger, maybe even in high school, and the boy came up to you and said, hey, baby, if you love me, you can fill in the blank. Anybody ever heard people say stuff like that? Some of you are thinking, that came even after high school. Yeah, there's adults that even said, come on, girl, you know if you love me, you'll do this for me. No. That's because they don't even know what love is. They don't even know what love is. Love, true love, the love of God is not based on what somebody else will do for you. The true love of God is strictly based on God has poured his love into me, and I love you no matter what. So if you can just right now, just imagine yourself loving on such a level that no matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter what they do, that you, in spite of what they do, you have such a love for them that you still want to see good happen to them. See, we're used to the kind of love, and I put that in quotes, right? We're used to the kind of love that as long as they're doing everything for you, us, and as long as they're doing things that make us happy, and they're not challenging our egos, or they're not challenging our flesh, or I mean, as long as they're doing everything just right, man, oh, I love you so much. Oh, you're so awesome. I'm so glad you're in my life. Until they begin to do things that challenges your own personal desires. Until they begin to do things and say things that doesn't please you. And then you might begin to ask those questions. I'm not sure. This is where people, you know, husbands and wives do it all the time. They end up in the divorce courts because I just grew out of love. You grew out of love? You make that sound like it's a fungus. Some bad love grew, you know, and separated you? Come on, no. No, you didn't grow out of love. Listen to what you did. You stepped out of love. Because love is not something, it's not a fungus that just grows on you. Love is a decision that we make to love someone else. And when you love someone else with this kind of love, it is a love that, in other words, you look at this object or this person, right? And you have such a high, you put such a high value on the thing or the person that it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You highly esteem this person. You highly look up to this person. You just love them like, it's almost like it's an irresistible love because you've got such the love of God in you that you love them no matter what. That's the way God loves us. That's the way God loves us, right? But here, understand this. This love is already in us. It's already in us. You might be sitting there thinking, man, I wish I could love like that. You can. You can. We all can. And we're going to get there, right? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, Paul says this to the church at Colossae. He says, above all. Everybody say above all. How many know that means beyond everything? I mean, in spite of everything. That's another way you could say it, right? Above all, in spite of everything else, regardless, that's a good word, regardless of whatever's going on, regardless of what they've said or done, watch this. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, with love. Clothe, everybody say clothe. Yourselves in love. Who's going to do the clothing? We are, right? See, I think so many times we're just waiting for God just to jump on us with the big love coat. Just wrap us up in a big love coat so we automatically just begin to love the way we're supposed to love. But it just doesn't work that way, right? Because it was, every wife in the world would get one of those coats no matter the cost, and they would wrap their husband in it every day. So he would love them the way they're supposed to love them, right? Every husband would be like, I'll take 3 jobs so I can get one of those coats. So I can put that around my wife every day, or I can put it on my kids. And said, but God, it doesn't work that way. We have to put on the clothes. So what are we saying? Each and every one of us have a spiritual closet. We have a spiritual closet that this love is hanging in. But what we have to do is we have to intentionally go to that heart closet, and we have to open up that door to that heart closet. We have to reach in there intentionally. You came, obviously, you all came here dressed, and that is a very good thing. That is very good. That's a good start, right? Okay. So how many, you decided you wanted to come, or you got up this morning, you knew you had to get ready for work, or you had to go about your day. How many that you're standing there, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm dressed. Whoa, this is amazing. I don't have to dress anymore. I mean, I just Boom, I get up, my feet hit the floor. I'm in the outfit I'm going to wear today. How did you get your outfit on? How did you get your shirt on? How did you get your pants on? How'd you get your shoes on? You reached, you got the garment, and then you began to shove your arms in and your legs in, and you tied your shoes, and you buttoned up your own shirt, and you did all. When Paul says, put on love, see, the New King James says it this way, put on love. Not just clothe yourself, but put on love. And that is actually comes from a Greek word that actually means to dress yourself. It's the same word that they used every day when they talked about, I've got to get ready to go. I got to put my clothes on, right? It's the same term. And he's using that with the love of God, letting us know that the love of God doesn't, even though it's there, it's in your heart closet. The love's there. But we've got to be the ones to reach into the heart closet, take it off of the hanger, and we've got to put this love on and choose to wear it. Yeah. Only difference is between natural clothes and this love that you're putting on is natural clothes. You do need to take them off and wash them. Strongly recommended. Or you may be strongly something else, right? Right, but this love, we're not here's. But here's the problem: people they might reach in there and they put their love on, but when a certain event happens, then they take that love off and they throw it back in the closet and they go back to their fleshy ways. Right, but God wants us to reach into our heart closet and He wants us to take this love and put it on and keep it on. He says, "Clothe yourselves in love." That word, put it on, it denotes the act of putting on a garment or a piece of clothing. The word love here he's talking about, we've already talked about it. It's the agape love. It's the highest form of love. Listen to this. It is a self-sacrificial love that moves a person to action. It's a self-sacrificial love. In other words, you're willing to sacrifice your way. You're willing to sacrifice yourself because of the great love that you have for someone else. And we can't say, well, that's exactly the way I love God. Man, I just love Him so much. I can't stand my neighbor, but I love God. My husband's driving me nuts, but oh, I love God. My wife is driving me crazy. My kids are driving me insane, but oh, I love God. My coworker irritates me to no end, but I love God. Oh, I just love God so much. But yet the Bible says, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen when we can't seem to love those around us that we see all the time? So what's the answer? Right? Listen, so what's the answer to this? We go to our heart closet. We open it up. We intentionally reach in and we grab that heart, that love garment, and we put on love. And we say, this is what I'm wearing today. And this is the way I'm going to treat people today. I'm going to love them no matter what they say, no matter what they do. Don't think this impossible. It's not impossible because the love of God, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that love's hanging in that closet. But it's our decision to reach in and put it on, right? Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody? Did I just hear somebody say, no, but you're hurting me? Okay. Well, say amen or oh me, whichever way it fits. I mean, you know, hallelujah. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Really? Yes, really. Man, can you feel the love? Hallelujah. That's it. I'm going to my heart closet. I love you too. All right, here we go. Next time you guys go to your heart closet, make time sure you spend some time in there praying while you're in there, right? Or go to your heart closet, your prayer closet, all your other good closets. put all that stuff on and come back out. All right, here we go. Watch this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says this. Listen to this powerful statement. We know what real love is. We know what real love is. Why? How do we know what real love is? Because he goes on and gives us the definition of it. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So what is real love? When you give up your life for somebody else. Jesus gave us the perfect example. The perfect example himself gave us the perfect example. We know what real love is because we talk about it every Easter. Right? We know what real love is because and here's the definition, because Jesus gave up his life for us. So what does it say after that? So we also ought to. You know what it means to ought to? Or is that just a Southern thing, right? You ought to. You ought to do this. You ought to do that, right? It's something you should do. It says, so we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So, because now that we know what real love is, because we just seen it in Jesus' life, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, the Bible's not telling us we need to go hang on a cross and be crucified, right? It does tell us we need to die to our own flesh, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It does not boil over with jealousy. It does not insist. Love does not. I'm just quoting 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love does not insist on its own rights, its own ways, right? It loves. Love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things. Love never fails, never quits. It never becomes obsolete or out of date, right? So he says here, so we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. That's what real love is. So because of that, we also ought to or should give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Wow. So we can't use the excuse, man, I just really don't understand what love really is. Can't use that anymore, can we? Go ahead and say, thanks a lot, PK. Right? Now you know. Now you know. You know what the Bible says about knowing something? Once you know something, you're held responsible for what you know. So now you can't even get away with it with God. Now you can't stand before God one day, well, I never knew. He's going to go, PK told you. On Thursday night, April 6th, at 7:45, that you ought to love the way Jesus loves. And see, now you know. So now you're held responsible for it. Does that make you feel all warm and fuzzy? Listen, this love's already in you, but you have to put it on. Love is a choice. It's a decision that we make. So we have to choose to love people this way. Do you know how much this blesses God when we do that? Because we're taking something. Anybody ever given maybe a child or a husband or a wife or somebody? It doesn't matter. You gave a gift to somebody and then they never used it. Besides me, okay, I'll be the one, right? The one in the bunch, right? But besides me, you gave something to somebody and they never used it. Am I the only one that frustrates? It's like if I gave you a car and you kept calling me and saying, PK, I really want to come to church today, but I don't have a ride. Could you please come pick me up? I'm going to be like, but is the car not working? Oh, no, it runs fine. Do you have gas? Oh, yeah, it's full, just like you gave it to me full. It's sitting right out there, you know, and it's running fine, nothing wrong with it. Is somebody blocking you from getting out? No, I mean, a clear path all the way to church. No, everything's fine. Then why aren't you using your car? right? God has given us this amazing gift of love. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to love people in your own power. Because that's where we fail. When we're trying to do this in our own ability. Right? She's just lifting her hands going, hallelujah, PK, man. She looked around. Look, she's going, look, you guys need to listen to this guy. Right? It's my little cheerleader over there. We know what real love is. Go with me to 1 John. Well, just go across the page there. 1 John chapter 4. This is my last verse. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. It says this, and as we live in God, our love grows more complete, more perfect. Perfect in the Bible does not mean flawless, without error. It means complete. It means a level of maturity, right? A completeness. And as we live in God, our love grows more complete or perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, right? But we can face Him, God, on the day of judgment with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Well, how does Jesus live? We know what real love is because Jesus gave His life for us. So we ought to love others. We ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters as well. The New King James says it this way, as He is in this world, so are we. See, we like quoting that one. Oh, as He is, so am I. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shut up! As He is, so am I in this world. Would you hurry up and get out of my way? As He is, so are we in this world, right? No, we love people. We love people, but we have to go to our heart closet and open the door and intentionally grab that garment of love and put it on. We clothe ourselves. We button it up because we don't want it to fall off real easy, right? In other words, we have a determination. No, I am going to love people the way Jesus loves people. Amen. Isn't that good? Did you guys get anything out of this tonight? Go and stand up on your feet. I'm done. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. He is so good, and He is so loving. He loves you so much. See, we get excited about how much God loves us, but we should get just as excited about the love, His love, He poured into us, so now we can love people the way He loves us. It was His great love that brought us into the kingdom, right? What if we took that same love, put it on, and begin loving the world the way He loves the world? They're going to go, wow, I want what you've got. Man, don't you want to hear people say that? I want what you got. How are you so happy? How are you so peaceful? I know what you're going through. I've seen the struggles you've gone through, but yet you're so peaceful. How can you be so at peace with all the stuff you're going through? And you just turn around, you just begin. Can I just tell you what Jesus has done for me? And let me tell you this, He'll do the same thing for you. Because He don't love me no more than He loves you. Let me tell you this, and then I'm going to give it over to Heather. Listen, the Bible says that God loves us every bit as much as He loves Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus any more than He loves us. That is awesome. And God knows all you've done. But you know what? God's not looking at what you've done. He's seeing you through the work of the cross. He's seeing you through the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for you. He loves you every bit as much as He loves Jesus. Amen.